Hey, everybody. How many times on America Tonight have we talked about housing and what's happening in the mortgage industry? So many of you have called to kvetch about what's going on with your homes, just barely holding on by your fingertips, trying desperately not to be foreclosed on. So the big question is, one we're going to get an answer to this time around, is what about those underwater mortgages? Where does the money come from? And what about this practice called short sale? Recently, I had a friend who was uber successful, suddenly was cut down at work, had to accept another job for half of what she was making, and found herself in a situation where she had a $500,000 house, and she had to do the short sale thing. And this is a woman who really put her blood, sweat, and tears into it and earned her way up the ladder. She's surviving now and starting to thrive again, but she had to do that short sale thing, and I know a lot of you have been in a similar situation. So we've got Tom and Gina Branch from RE/MAX. They're actually in Dallas, Texas, to talk to us about this very thing. Hey, guys, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Hey, good evening. Well, happy to be here.
Well, Tom, let's start with you. Give me your definition of what short sale is, because I think there's some confusion on that.
Yeah, there really is. I mean, the short sale has been around for a while, and a short sale is basically a discounted payoff to the lender. Bottom line is the lender will accept less than what's owed on the note in order to sell the property and avoid a foreclosure.
And so if it's just one of those things where, Gina, when you get yourself against the wall, your back's against the wall, it's maybe better to do the short sale thing than completely lose out. Is that the theory for some people?
Absolutely, absolutely. A short sale helps the homeowner avoid foreclosure and keeps them from having that credit ding on their report for 7 years, and really helps keep their integrity intact as well.
Yeah, I agree with that last part about the integrity. It's a last resort decision, right? You go through all your options, you try to sell. I mean, you guys are experts in this. You try to sell, and if you just absolutely can't and you have to do it, at least you have that. Is that the theory, Tom?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, most people we find it's, these aren't distressed properties. These are distressed homeowners. You know, they've had some crisis happen in their life. A lot of them, like you talked about earlier, have lost their jobs. They've gone through their life savings trying to save their house. You know, last thing they want to do is lose the house. And at the very end, you know, it's either this or foreclosure or a deed in lieu. There are some other options. But we really think the short sale is probably the best solution for everybody going forward.
Yeah, or the other thing that I've heard the name thrown around is HAFA. I call it HAFA, but it's Home Affordable Foreclosures Alternatives. And that means how much do you get there? How much would you get to sort of relocate, I guess, government-wise? The homeowner gets some money, right? Is that right, Gina?
Yes, the homeowner gets $1,000, I believe it is, to relocate and move.
All right, so then that goes along with the same thing that we've been talking about. Let me ask you both this, because this is your profession. Are you seeing a turn? Are happy days here again, Tom? I mean, you go out with people. There's obviously some people who are still looking, and there's all different circumstances and different range of homes and affordability and all that sort of stuff. But do you feel like we're starting to turn a corner?
You know, to some extent, that's probably true in the housing market. I think a lot of it's going to depend on, you know, what the economy does in the long run. But right now, you know, with the tax credits that are out there, both the $8,000 first-time home buyer and the $6,500 move-up, move-down credit is what I'm calling that one. So there's a lot of interest and a lot of activity in the market, you know, combined with historically low interest rates. So there is a lot of buying going on. So, you know, there's that first-time home buyer market is doing really well, you know, and some of the upper-end houses, you know, are just sitting there.
What are we seeing? Because I do check the interest rates, and we talk about that on America Tonight. But what are we seeing mostly now for the interest rates? If you had to give us a ballpark figure,
I would say right around 5%. And as Tom mentioned, we're at a point in history where we've got not only housing prices down, but interest rates down at historic lows as well. So it really makes it, you know, the best time to buy a home that we've seen in, you know, nearly 40 years.
Yeah, Tom, do you think it's a matter of time, of course, as everything's rolling forward, before we see those interest rates shoot up again? And when we say shoot up again, I can remember, I want to say a friend of mine bought a house maybe 10, 11 years ago, and the interest rate was probably, you know, maybe 9, 10, maybe even a little bit higher than that, right?
Yeah, back in the early part of the 80s, we saw interest rates in the teens. I mean, 16, 17% interest rates were not uncommon, and that really kills the buying power. So I remember getting a VA loan in 85 and thinking, all right, 9%, you know, it was just absolutely awesome, you know. And I think we did one here 3 or 4 years ago at 4%. So it's bizarre just to see these rates down, but it just can't stay there. If you think about it in the long run, it cannot stay down there. The government's holding it down, trying to get the economy going again, but sooner or later, interest rates are going to have to rise.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I agree with you. Gina, and what the two of you do and in taking people around, let's pick your brains for people out there that all over the country, not just in Texas, not just in Dallas, who are looking for homes. What are some good, quick tips you can give somebody who's intimidated by the process and some things they need to look for when they go out with realtors and they're looking for homes?
Well, I think the first thing that they can do really is meet with their lender and get pre-qualified. Sometimes they're a little nervous about that process. They don't know where to start. The worst thing we can do is take somebody and show them a home that they absolutely fall in love with, only to later find out that they can't qualify for a mortgage at that price. So we encourage them to meet with a lender ahead of time, then choose a realtor or choose a real estate professional that's educated and licensed and familiar with the area and the process of going through finding a home for them.
And would you say that, you know, the going through the whole house deal sometimes can be emotional? Somebody told me one time, Tom, that, you know, and Gina's right about the pre-qualification, so you have that out of the way, so forget those jitters, but that you try not to necessarily fall in love with a house because there's a chance you might not get it. Even you're qualified, but somebody outbids and they keep bidding and you just don't want to go that high anymore. Do you tell people that? Don't fall too in love with the house?
You know, and I predominantly list houses, but the buyers I work with, I mean, and I think people know, you walk into a house and you fall in love with it. Years ago, Gina and I walked into a house, and she looked at me and says, what are we still doing here? Well, what should we be doing? We should be back in the office writing an offer. So, you know, I think what you need to do is hire a professional that's not going to take advantage of that, because buying a home, unless you're an investor, I think is an emotional purchase. I think you fall in love with the house. You see your kids playing in the backyard, you know, all those kind of things. So I think what you need is a professional that will help you through that process. Typically, I'm looking for a reason not to buy a house when I work with buyers. You know, do I see signs of foundation problems? Do I see bad roofs? And that's, you know, I think that's where the professional comes in to put some balance on that whole process.
Yeah, no kidding. And always get an inspection, right? Always get an inspection, Gina, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You want to know, you know, this, a lot of times this is the biggest purchase these buyers will ever make in their financial lives, and you need to know what you're buying. The inspections are very, very important. They can uncover a lot of things that the naked eye can't see. And us as real estate professionals, we're not inspectors. So while we may see some things, we can't really give them advice as to the structure and condition of the home. That's where the inspector comes in and can really help them through that process.
All right, the dynamic duo. I got to love this. A husband and wife working together. Woo, that's good. Because there are a lot of us that couldn't do that. You can check them out if you go to their website, The Branch Team. Of course, 3 W's. TheBranchTeam.com. Tom and Gina, thanks for coming on America Tonight. We appreciate the time.
Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Fact. 4 million people in the U.S. have hepatitis C due to liver damage. Fact. Cirrhosis of the liver is the 8th leading cause of death among Americans. Fact. Alcohol, many prescription drugs, food additives, pesticides, and environmental toxins damage the liver. Fact. 1 in 10 Americans is or has been affected by liver or gallbladder disease. Fact. Anything that keeps the liver from doing its job can put your life in danger. Protect your liver by visiting researchedherbs.com and learning more about the world's number one selling all-natural liver support formula, Live 52. It is the only herbal liver supplement that is backed by over 190 published clinical trials and endorsed by 250,000 healthcare professionals in 76 countries worldwide. Don't wait to protect your liver. Visit us at researchedherbs.com or call 1-800-973-1486. That's 1-800-973-1486 or go to researchedherbs.com. All the goodness with none of the side effects.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
8 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract can help your body clean its arteries.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Always fun to have Harry Rinker in the house. He's the guru of all things collectibles. So whether it's guns or stamps or whatever it is, whatever your treasures are, he is the guy to talk to. And I mean anything. His knowledge is unbelievable. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. And that's where we are right now on America Tonight. Hey, Harry, how have you been?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm excited. I'm heading to Atlantic City this weekend.
That is always exciting, by the way.
But not to gamble, unfortunately. Although a lot of people tell me that that buying antiques and collectibles is a form of a gamble. And I've got to tell you, if you're buying them to invest in them, it's probably one of the biggest gambles and longest odds you can get next to a lottery ticket. But, no, there's a big brand new show in Atlantic City, the Atlantic City Antique Show. Now, it's very different. There used to be a show in Atlantic City called Atlantique City. It was probably at one point, well, in the 1990s, the premier show in the United States. It was probably the best show that existed. 1,500 booths, dealers from all over the world. Initially, it began as a collectible show, and for a lot of us, we would have loved to see it stay that way, but the promoter added an antique sector and grew that over the years as well. But the show fell on hard times in the last 10 years or so, and particularly in the last five. And the company that owned it tried to sell it, couldn't even give it away. So they finally abandoned it, and the Atlantic City Convention Center didn't want to not have an antique show in it, so it kind of invited promoters from all across New Jersey to submit plans for a show, and a young lady named Allison Kohler from JMK Events won the bid, and she is creating a new show in Atlantic City, a little bit more upscale, a little bit more of the true traditional antique show, although there should be a lot of collectibles as well. And I'm going to go down there and get to spend 2 days at the show, which excites me, and also take part in their appraisal booth down there. So that's I'm looking forward to that. I get out in the field a lot. I've been out a lot recently at home and garden shows, but it's great to get back at an antique show again.
Boy, yeah, no kidding. I bet it sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of great dealers in the area. In my field, as in the economy in general, there's a feeling that things are coming back. Now, I think everybody's scared to say that, and I think everything is tentative. But attendance at shows are up. Dealers are doing better. Merchandise is flowing again. Not the same type of merchandise from before, and it's very spotty, but things are looking up. Maybe everybody's a little bit optimistic about the stock market, although it didn't do that well today. But I mean, the feeling is that things are better than they have been. I'm not going to credit the health care bill for that, let me tell you, but what can I say?
This is not about politics.
Here we're here to talk about people's antiques, collectibles, and the stuff they have around the house. We're going to invite them to call in these next 15 minutes. Anything you have around the house is fair game. You want to know what it's worth, or if you have a question about the antiques and collectibles field, give us a call.
All right, and again, that number is 800-259-5791, so jump on that as fast as you can because we get Harry twice a month. Hey, Harry, I got a note here a couple of weeks ago from a guy named Jack who listens to us in Austin, Texas, and he basically said, Kate, I have an open-ended question. I have a young son, and I used to collect stamps, and I'm trying to get him into it. Where would you suggest I start? Ooh, where should he start?
Oh, the answer is with his collection.
Start with hand them down to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably they're worth more doing that than they are anywhere else. I mean, I would say, Kate, that 75 to 80% of the times when somebody comes to me with somebody's stamp collection that's been put together, one way or another, I have one or two pieces of advice. The first one is hand it down to the children or grandchildren and let them learn about the world and so forth by having stamps and researching them and having fun with them. Or two, if there's any unused stamps, put them on an envelope and use them.
There you go. No kidding.
I know. It sounds crazy, man. But, you know, sometimes that's more value. Now, you know, with postage, what it is, licking 3-cent stamps to get up to 42 cents could get to be a big problem.
Do you think, is stamp collecting bigger than coins or coins?
No. I recently got involved in writing a series of columns, which is one of these subjects you don't want to write about, called Why People Stop Collecting. And one of the things that I heard from several people who, and I asked my readers of my weekly column, Rinker on Collectibles, I asked my readers to send me their thoughts on why they stopped collecting. And I heard from several stamp collectors who said, look, we simply stopped collecting when they issued so many stamps and, you know, they just kept coming out with bigger and bigger numbers and you know, they put more plate numbers on the stamp thing and so forth. It just got more complicated and more confusing to collect. Right now, coin collecting, I think worldwide is better.
It's
now,
bigger.
Part of the reason for that, Kate, is that coins have bullion in them, or the older coins do.
Right, right.
So, you know, so a lot of the coin collectors get caught up in the silver and gold market.
Right, absolutely. I was kind of in that direction.
In my lifetime, I've watched the silver dollar be worth $1 or $2, $3 to melt it. Today it's worth around $11 to $12 to melt it.
Right.
And during the hunt craze, I got some people out of the market at $27,
$28. I know, it's absolutely crazy. Hey, Harry, good news. We got a couple of callers, as we'll have just enough time to squeeze them in. First, we go to Trey in Kentucky. Hey, Trey.
Hey, Kate, how you doing?
Hey, hi, Trey, what you got?
Hey, Harry, I was just wondering, about 8 or 9 years ago, I started collecting some strange ice buckets, any kind of that I could find that were not just plain colored, anything like that.
Yeah, listen, man, I have a collection of ice buckets. They're neat, aren't they?
Yeah, they're great, man. I'm thinking about getting back into it, and I was just wondering, I didn't know how many people out there collected them or where you can find them.
You can probably count both of us with two hands.
Okay. Well,
what happens, Trey, is that a lot of the ice buckets that got collected are collected for their funky period look. So, you know, you get an ice bucket that says 50s or 60s or 70s. People who collect them for their design.
Yeah.
And there are some really wild ones out there, man. You know, do yourself a favor. Don't get caught up in the high end of it.
No,
the high end can get 75 to a couple hundred bucks.
Oh, wow.
You know, no. I mean, some of the ice buckets in my collection I paid well over 50 bucks for.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether I should have my head examined is another matter. But, you know, buy them because they're fun and you enjoy them. And eBay's a great place.
eBay's got a bunch? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, put them on. Yeah, absolutely. Hey,
yeah,
Trey, thanks.
And the thing about it is that I still keep an ice bucket on the bar, and you know, switch them out. Right now, they're all packed up in boxes because of my pending move. But yeah, they're there.
All right, let's squeeze in our last one. Just a couple of minutes left. Courtney in Kentucky as well. Hey, Courtney.
Hey,
Courtney, what you got?
My wife bought a sleigh bed that's made out of one piece of wood, and the people we bought off of that have been in the family for 50 years.
No, I mean,
can't find no markings on it or anything. She's going to use it as a family heirloom to start passing down to our family.
Yeah, your wife bought a what?
It's a sleigh bed made out of one piece of wood.
Okay,
I can't find no markings
on it. He's talking about a sleigh bed. You know those sleigh beds?
Oh,
I love
beds?
Them, yeah.
Yeah, if you buy an old sleigh bed, as long as you didn't pay more than 100 to a couple hundred bucks for it, that's the ideal thing. Just pass them on down and use them as a family heirloom. That's great.
Oh, you think it is antique? I mean, you don't think it's recently made or anything?
No, the problem you have to be careful about sleigh beds is you can go out and buy a modern sleigh bed today. If you bought a sleigh bed from the 1920s or 30s, you know, it's anywhere from 100 to a couple hundred bucks, provided it's at least a double bed size or bigger. You have to be careful with a lot of old beds because they aren't as big as the modern beds, and people don't pay a lot for them because they're not big enough. If you have a sleigh bed from the 19th century, it could be double that just because of its style. Again, some of those sleigh beds are not as plain as you might expect. And if there's better value for the ones that are a little bit more innate.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Okay, no problem. Thank you for your call, sir.
Oh, I love those sleigh beds, Harry. We're out of time. Quickly, tell everyone about the mailbag.
Well, listen, we would love to hear from you. You can email us and get me to work on a question in advance before I come up on Kate's show, American Night. And my email address is Harry L. Rinker, HARRYLRINKER, at AOL.com. Harry L. Rinker, AOL.com. Start your email. I listen to American Tonight, and give us the name of your favorite radio station. Please understand that I don't have time to do personal answers. I'll select the questions that we think are appropriate and answer them here on America Tonight.
Sweet. We love it. We got that all in, and we had a couple of callers. Thanks, Harry. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Is it safe to breathe anymore? Crowded public places, global pandemics, and news reports of potential new strains of bacteria and viruses make you wonder. What if there was a germ-killing nasal spray that acted almost like hand sanitizer for your nose? There is. It's called Sinofresh Homeopathic Nasal Spray, and it's a proven germ killer. Sinofresh is a revolutionary doctor-recommended nasal spray that kills a broad spectrum of viruses, bacteria, molds, and fungi on contact in your nose. Sinofresh causes no drug interactions, no loss of smell, no rebound congestion, contains no alcohol, is non-habit forming, and is safe for daily use. Sinofresh must be a part of your family survival plan. Go to GCNLive.com now and click on the Sinofresh banner. The first 1,000 customers to click on the Sinofresh banner and purchase Sinofresh antiseptic nasal spray are instantly registered to win a free 24-bottle case. Go to GCNLive.com and click on Sinofresh. Breathe free. Breathe safe. Use Sinofresh. It works.
Whoa, you know, you know, you know, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue River.
Kate hanging out with all of you across this great nation and every nook and cranny. Taking a little break from the healthcare conversation to just cool down, to just chill for a second. That was fun with Harry. Remember, he won't join us next week, but he'll be back the week after that, so he's great if you have any questions. It was awesome, the questions we got tonight. Sleigh bed. I love those sleigh beds. Boy, here's the thing. Sleigh beds can be pretty expensive. I know I was pricing one a couple of months ago. I saw it somewhere. I can't remember where. And I was stunned at how much it was. I mean, I want to say it was like $1,000 or something, $1,000+. But they are pretty, especially he's right about that, how big, what the size of it is. Because I think people really, really like the whole big bed deal. Because we're all so bloody exhausted from venting when we hit our beds. Poof, we're just exhausted, we just pass out, we're working so many jobs or whatever it might be. Hey, coming up in our next segment, bad boys. Ooh, we got a real nasty boy for you. We're going to talk about that. I'm not even going to give you a hint as to who it is. This is some bad news. Social Security is talking about the payout is going to exceed the revenue. Oh, stunner, huh? The Social Security system is expected to pay out more in benefits this year than it actually gets in payroll taxes. There is that tipping point that we were all concerned about. I have it so drilled in my head that when I get those, I know that you can all relate to this. I think it's like 2 or 3 pages, and every single one of us gets it. This is what you'll get from Social Security, and it tells you how much you've made and how many XYZ years all the way back since you ever paid Social Security. And if you work till 70, here's what you'll get, 2 cents on the dollar. But really, you're not going to get any cents of the way we're going. And this just shows you it's the bubble bursting thanks to real estate especially. And this year, with them having to pay out more, it wasn't expected to cross that number, across that direction, until 2016, according to the Congressional Budget Office. You know what I was saying about health care And the problem I have is the cost. I mean, give me all these great ideas, but what's it going to cost? And the Congressional Budget Office, which is nonpartisan, they're giving you guesstimates. So their guesstimate on Social Security was not until 2016 will we run out, basically. Well, we have to pay out all these benefits, but we don't have enough money. This is scary stuff. So there's going to have to be some kind of a change that happens soon. How many people do you know in your life that rely on those Social Security benefits, and they're saying that, okay, there's no effect on the benefits in 2010, and anybody who's retired keeps getting their checks, but the problem is that the payments have risen more than expected during this downturn because jobs disappeared. So people applied for benefits sooner than they were planning to even. And then millions of jobs gone. That means fewer paychecks to smash with the taxes, with the Social Security taxes. And I think ever since I started doing a radio show, they were talking about, ooh, Social Security, when it's not going to be around. What's going to happen? Oh, that's every time I had somebody on the show. That's so far down the road. Oh, I mean, you can't even worry about that now. Oh, yeah, that's so far down the road. Well, guess what? So far down the road is right now. You know, you look at this, and the last time it got into trouble, the Social Security program got into trouble, was in the early 1980s. And then the fund could have fallen to zero, they say, in just a couple of months because of some of the things that happened during those years. You had this big economic growth, and, you know, or actually because we've had so much economic growth, we probably won't exhaust the funds, probably won't exhaust all of the funds until 2037. So this is not good. It's not good in these projections, in looking at the flip-flop. We don't have enough coming in, but we have to pay all this out. And plus the long-term costs of Social Security are big-time problematic for, you know, anybody who's running for office because they can't figure out how to reduce the debt. So we can't reduce the debt. We're in this predicament there. And now we've got the problem with so many baby boomers going to retire. I mean, unemployment, 8.2%, really over 10%, and actually even I think in some cases much more than that. So they're not covering the payouts like they thought they were going to be able to do until 2016. Keep your eye on this story. It's funny, like I said, every time I try to do a story on that, I would get kind of the runaround, not surprisingly, and never get a clear answer as to when were things going to really be upside down, when was it going to really flip. And now we're seeing that time is happening a lot sooner than was actually predicted by the Congressional Budget Office. But it's a good example of why they're just guesstimates. I mean, if I work for the CBO, you hand me a bunch of health care pages, and I have to figure out, okay, if we could do this and this and this and this, well, I'm doing it, even if I look down the road, you know, I don't know what the unemployment is going to be. We're just guessing at things. So there's an example with Social Security. All right, this is an interesting story that, you know, it's like when you see the movie The Fugitive. Wasn't The Fugitive like I love that movie. I mean, I even like the remake of The Fugitive. But anyway, I always wonder how do you stay under the wire? Because it seems like we have so many. There are so many good law enforcement types, the detectives who can, you know, piece trails together, or even the FBI in how they're able to take up a cold track and actually find somebody, whether it's through the simplest of hints that they drop or casually getting in touch with a relative or whatever it is. Well, this story broke from Helena, Montana. This hitchhiker who was sentenced to be executed for a killing of a Montana man who picked him up during a blizzard was found running a wedding chapel under an assumed name in Arizona 38 years after he skipped out on parole. So check this out. He's 78 years old now today. His name's Frank Dreyerman. I think it's been reported all over the place. And he was found after the victim's grandson hired an investigator who tracked, see, those detectives who tracked the fugitive to his Arizona City notary and chapel business. There, his name was Victor Houston. So now, at 78, all these years he was safe. Now he's awaiting extradition proceedings after he was picked up by the sheriff's department out there. And he initially got, because this is 1955, he initially got a hanging sentence after a pretty quick trial. And his case was actually a famous case. It was a battle over the death penalty and what happens on the frontier. So he got, after he was supposed to be hung, he got a new sentence of life in prison thanks to the Montana Supreme Court. But in 1969, after 15 years in prison, he was paroled, and the Montana Department of Corrections say today that the soonest a person convicted of murder could gain parole is 30 years. So fast forward, he disappeared 3 years later, and nobody's been missing longer. He just disappeared into thin air and changed his name, and, you know, it was an ideological conversation at the time in the 50s. But the family and obviously the grandson wanted justice, so he didn't give up. He pursued the case when he learned some of the details in looking through some old newspaper clippings in storage. See, it's just like we had Harry on. You never know what you're going to find in your attic, in your basement, when somebody dies, estates, whatever. And this is what happened with the grandson. He had a bunch of stuff. He didn't know very much about it. He just got curious. Say, you know, the story is passed on. Your grandfather was killed by a drifter, this guy, whatever. And then he starts to learn more about it and realizes, oh, no. Uh-uh. He, you know, my grandfather dies because of he's good-hearted. He picks him up, and he shot him 7 times in the back. 7 times in the back. Oof. So the investigator came up with the goods, found him, dug up parole records, all that sort of stuff, traced him. The main thing is now they have him. So he's going to go back to state prison. He'll have this parole hearing in the next couple of months, and then probably he'll resume his life in prison sentence. Woo! That's got to be a wild story. I'm sure, I mean, he changed his name. He didn't want anybody connecting him to murdering somebody. But I doubt he ever thought that somebody was going to track him down and he was going to end up in an orange jumper and back in the slammer again at 78 years old. I mean, and I know this is radio, and I'll have to post it on my website, but you should see the young mug-faced guy who did that time in prison, has, you know, the numbers you get when you get your mugshot, and now what he looks like today, and bravo to the grandson for tracking him down, because he was digging into his family's history when he went through some old stuff and they were getting rid of some stuff, and you know, the more he started to dig, the more he started to realize, ooh, why should this guy have gotten off that way, just disappeared and didn't do the entire time? That's not right. That's one of the more interesting things I think that I've read in this past couple of years, as far as chasing a fugitive, somebody who thought they were safe, and then actually tracking them down, and the fact that he could go to prison for the rest of his life. Wow. Bad Boys coming up next.
Are you prepared, or are you hardcore prepared? Get hardcore equipped at TacTownGear.com. That's TACTownGear.com. All TacTown gear has been field tested with Canadian and U.S. forces, so we know it's tough. What kind of gear? Our own brands. Arctic Warrior, Homeland Defender, Sandbox Avenger, Urban Peacekeeper. More than 30,000 products and 90% of it made in Canada and the U.S. See it all at TacTownGear.com. That's TACTownGear.com. Get 72-hour survival kits, Ultima boots, HW1 gloves, tactical link slings, EMA tactical weapon equipment, everything you need to be hardcore prepared. Deal with TacTownGear.com personnel with more than 25 years experience in military and law enforcement. Call now, 418-844-9111. That's 418-844-9111. Or go to TACTownGear.com. TacTownGear.com. Solutions for your area of operation.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
George Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own health care decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.
For The Blind Side, Sandra Bullock. I feel badly for her that she's in this storm. Jesse James, who's trying to keep his marriage together, now is eerily looking like a Tiger Woods. I mean, he's not down completely down that road where you have 15 women coming out of the woodwork. But there is another woman who's claiming that she had an affair and is reporting sexual harassment. Her name is Melissa Smith. And she says they met through MySpace a couple of years ago. And just like the first accuser, Michelle McGee, both of these women are pretty heavily tattooed strippers who say that it lasted a couple of months when James was married to Bullock and they would hook up in his world-famous West Coast Choppers headquarters every couple of months. This woman is saying she saw him last in 2009, and she would come up and see him every couple of months. Like I said, she would go to his famous chopper place. So this is not good. And then this is the other thing. There supposedly he paid a female executive $700,000 after she threatened to sue him for making sexual advances to her. Because the lawsuit wasn't filed, there's no documentation, but she filed an employee complaint, and, yeah, there's some problems here. Sadly, because so many people just love Sandra Bullock, and, you know, it's whatever happens, it's not necessarily do we care somebody's business what they do, but when it's played out in public, and, you know, there she is, and she's saying, oh, finally, someone has my back, and then 2 weeks later, all this stuff comes out. It's, oh, it's just so sad. So sad. So he's a bad boy, definitely. Let's go to Sam, who's listening to us in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
Hey, how you doing, gorgeous?
I'm good. How are you?
Simply fantastic.
Cool.
Okay, now, you know Passover's coming up, right?
Yep.
Okay, in one of the local hockey leagues here, in a region called Lac St. Louis, which is just on the suburbs of Montreal, there's a team, out of the 15 players, 10 of them are Jewish, and one of their playoff games is on the first night of Passover, so all the players said, we can't. So the
league said, 10 players?
Yeah.
Oh, that's big.
Yeah, so then the region said, sorry, either played or default. So then they're going to take the... Here's the funny part, is that one other team said, hey, we're willing to switch. So the league's comeback was, hey, if we have to give you guys a break, then every other team that's going to come up with an excuse. You know, I said, so they're going to take, right now, the parents, a whole bunch of parents are taking the league to court and the region saying, hey, religious observances. And then one of the parents came back and said, what would you do if a hockey tournament worked out where a game was scheduled on Christmas Eve night? Hey?
Yeah, would you skip it or would you go?
Yeah, so it has raised a bit of a stink here. And some of my Jewish friends said, hey, you know, the kids' playoffs. I mean, Passover can wait. Uh-uh. It's like telling you, excuse me, I want to schedule a hockey game, you know, a tournament during a hockey game on December 25th.
Yeah, I can't wait. No. It's the holidays, the holy day, yeah.
Right. And talking about a holy day and a holy land, guess who's coming in for a visit tomorrow?
Netanyahu? No, well, Stephen. Stephen.
Steve, yeah. He's coming. As Lex said, he's home, but he's coming here for a visit.
Very nice. That should be fun. You talk to him a lot, and you're his uncle, so that'll be fun. And for people who don't know the saga that we've talked about a lot on the airwaves, is we know the story of Stephen going through his rabbinical training and then ultimately becoming a rabbi there in Israel.
And now he's going for his master's degree in educational administration. And he's telling Hillary, and I quote, shut the H up.
About the Jerusalem situation, about building the apartments,
right,
and the Palestinians saying this is their center of their capital, yeah.
Right, sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you remember Moshe Dayan, don't you? Oh, you?
Of course, yes.
Okay. He had a daughter once who, how left-wing was she? She said if it meant all the Jews leaving Israel and giving it to the Palestinians, if that meant peace, she would have done it if she was prime minister. Sorry, I think the Philadelphia Flyers and the Montreal Canadiens have a better chance of making it to the Stanley Cup Finals than that happening.
I have to agree with you. I mean, he is standing his ground. The prime minister is Netanyahu.
Right.
There's no question about it. And, you know, hey, the U.S. in the meantime, it's been frayed nerves and frayed relationships. Absolutely no question about that. Sammy, thanks. You have a good one.
Take care, gorgeous.
Let's move on to Mark in New York. Hello, Mark.
Yeah, okay. Can I read something from the Declaration of Independence? Would you mind?
Do it.
If you folks, you know the beginning. But it basically says, second paragraph says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. That's the second paragraph. It's just one more. It's right after this. It says, prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established shall not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms in which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such is the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. I could go on. I was compelled to read this, and I've been told by Homeland Security that folks like me who carry a copy of the Constitution, who believe in the Second Amendment, who believe in veterans, and that we are the guilty parties in this country. The reason I wasn't excited before I called you, but you can hear it in my voice.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about everything that's gone on, and I've been listening to so many talk shows and the shortwave radio. People are, do you think it's a foregone conclusion, Kate, where when people talk about something that might happen, they whisper and they whisper, that it almost inevitably leads to some type of change or heaven forbid, some type of confrontation? Because
yes.
I think something's coming, Kate, and I hope it's peaceful. I really, really do. But I'm just disgusted because I was reading about, and I went from the declaration to the housing numbers and the economy, how people, more and more people are going to be foreclosed upon. They're going to lose their homes. They're going to lose their jobs. The New York Times had two paragraphs today. One about how the Wall Street was excited about the economic numbers, but just above that was the percentage of housing, the housing stock that's coming on the market. So, and never mind the fact that what the government has just passed, we cannot pay for. And China's rumbling about, you know, not taking any more treasury. I wish I could roll this conversation into a neat package. But what I just want to say is, God bless you for letting me speak my mind, and just I hope that that we can right what's going on here. But the main point is, we're already broke. So unless someone finds a pot of gold somewhere, or we initiate, basically sell everything under our underground, the coal, the oil, the gas, to the people that are holding our debt, we are finished, and we'll have to have a new type of government. And I'll call you tomorrow. Thanks.
Boy, no kidding. All right, thanks, Mark. Mark, like the rest of us, is concerned about where we're headed in the future, and I think that's a good thing. I think Mark has always been that way, though, politically active, I'll call him, concerned about what's happening across the United States. But I think many more people have had a fire lit underneath them, let's say, and the apathy bug that some say is going around the nation, I think is changing. I think a lot of that apathy is going away, and you wait till those midterm elections. Having said all that, I still believe, as does Mark, that we live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and remember, you can get up on that horse every single day, go around that carousel, lean over and grab the brass ring.